Listen now to the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them at first when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was among them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, the disciple Thomas is forever known as a doubter. Sometimes when they say his name, they even call him Doubting Thomas. But what we don't give him much credit for in history is that he overcame his doubt and declared, "My Lord and my God." We should call him, I think, Thomas the Overcomer, because he overcame his doubt with the help of Jesus Christ's presence and understanding love. Now, Thomas overcame his doubt through his honest encounter with Jesus, who helped him overcome by being compassionate and understanding about Thomas's concerns. Did you notice how Jesus never really shames Thomas, even though he does point out that those who believe without having to see are blessed? But I don't think he says it in a shameful way. He's just pointing it out to him. And as a result of Christ's reassurance, Thomas bravely went out then from Jerusalem and Israel, and he spread Christianity 3,000 miles all the way into India. And so many of the Christians in India think of themselves as Thomas Christians, where they give Thomas the credit for bringing Christ to them. And that is where he died. Jesus helps many people overcome doubts and fears and worries and troubles. I'm sure that here we have many stories in this church family today who can share about how Jesus has helped you overcome struggles in your own lives. Just with a show of hands, if you have overcome a problem or an issue in life thanks to your faith in Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Wow, that is a great testimony right there. Wonderful. Well, I would love to hear every story, because when you hear these personal stories of triumph and overcoming, it just really inspires your own faith and helps you really feel that relationship with Jesus in a closer way through the story that your friends can tell you. So I really do encourage you to ask that question of one another. How has your faith helped you overcome something in your life? Because there's so much to learn from one another, and that's why we're here together, is to share our faith with each other and to learn from one another and to bond together in that way. Well, that is how we live the resurrected life in Christ. You know, you hear that term, live the resurrected life. Well, that is how you live it in your own life, is to claim how Jesus has helped you through your struggles. We rise despite what throws us down. We overcome the dark times, the losses, the disappointments, the betrayals. We are Easter people who hold up and on to hope for a good future in the hands of God, because we understand that the resurrection demonstrated how God defeated and had a victory over death. We are Easter people who, despite our suffering and any of the suffering that we may endure, we know that Jesus endured even greater suffering on our behalf. We are Easter people who trust that we can overcome the worst life can fling at us because Jesus showed us how. Jesus rose in the midst of chaos and evil. He breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples then and also on us today to empower us to overcome trials and tribulations here on earth. And Jesus reassures us that when our time comes to transition to that next stage in eternal life, he will be there with us to the end of the age, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Because we are what kind of people? Easter. Yay, you got it. Just checking. Well, God will hold us fast and never forsake us and provide abundant life in eternal life. And when we can trust in these things and live as Easter people with Christ's peace that surpasses all understanding in our souls, then we are completing our mission here on earth when we demonstrate God's love in our actions by being instruments of that peace and hope that is contagious and spreads to everything you touch. That is your life purpose, you know, to be that kind of person here on earth, to spread the peace and the love and the hope to everyone that you meet in every circumstance. When people wonder what their purpose for living and breathing is, that is your purpose. Yet it's always easy to fall back into doubt in this world. We have so many things that distract us away from our purpose. When we begin to lose our high-functioning abilities, when our brains don't work exactly as efficiently as they used to, when we start losing friends and beloved family members as we age, it's easy to get caught up in fear and live anxious lives rather than peaceful ones. So how do we overcome that fear and doubt like Thomas did? To overcome these temptations to doubt and retreat from God's purpose in your life, first, pray every day. Prayer reminds you that God is with you through it all. But if you don't take time to pray, you often go out and forget the presence of God is with you. Then get involved helping others so you don't dwell on your own worries, but take on the task of helping others overcome their struggles. And last, surround yourself with reminders that you are stronger than you think you are. Because if others can be overcomers, then you can too be an overcomer. That was Mandisa's motivation for writing the album with the title song called Overcomer. She wanted to inspire people and empower others to lean on God to overcome their struggles. Have any of you heard of Mandisa? Are any of you fans of hers? We have a couple of us. Well, Mandisa is amazing, and she writes very uplifting songs, even though her own life has not been easy. I first heard about her when I found the album and the song called Stronger. But Mandisa first became famous as a contestant on the fifth season of American Idol. And I don't know if you saw it way back then. I actually missed the fifth season, so I didn't see it. But she endured so much ridicule from Simon Cowell about her weight that became one of the sub-stories in American Idol that season. And when she made it to the finals, she showed her own overcomer resilience and confronted Simon Cowell, you know, who owns the whole franchise. She confronted him with this statement. What I want to say to you is that, yes, you hurt me. And I cried, and it was painful. It really was. But I want you to know that I've forgiven you, and that you don't need someone to apologize in order to forgive somebody. I figure that if Jesus could die so that all of my wrongs could be forgiven, I can certainly extend that same grace to you. And he was humbled, which is hard to do. And he said, I'm sorry. 8 years later, after many Grammy nominations, Mandisa won the Grammy Award for the Best Contemporary Christian Music Album for her album titled Overcomer. And her title song, also called Overcomer, won Best Contemporary Christian Music Song that year. Now, I was going to show you the video and have you hear the song, and so hopefully I can do that next week. But I just want to tell you more about that song and how she made it into an amazing video. Mandisa was inspired by a friend's cancer journey to write the song Overcomer. And for the video, she included Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who you know was shot in the head and still overcame that, and her husband, astronaut Mark Kelly, who still went up to the space station even after his wife had been shot, and then gold medal ice skater Scott Hamilton, who's been through 3 brain tumors, and the last one, he gives it up as a miracle to God that he was able to survive it. And TV star Robin Roberts, who actually documented her journey with breast cancer. And she also includes the Biggest Loser runner-up, Hannah Kerley, who was the runner-up, almost the winner, of the Biggest Loser. And when Mandisa was asked why she chose these role models for her video, she said, "We chose each one of them because they were examples of overcomers in very public battles. It is hard to imagine anyone more appropriate than the amazing people in her video," she said. "They have all fought and continue to fight victoriously." And Mandisa said she prays that sharing their inspirational stories throughout the video will leave people saying, "If they can do it, then so can I." Now remember, if Thomas had been an unbeliever, or let his doubt get the best of him, he would not have been sitting there with the rest of the disciples that second time in the house, hoping Jesus might show up again. But he was there, waiting, wanting to see evidence that Jesus had been resurrected. Waiting and hoping are not the actions of an unbeliever. That's someone who's still engaged with the push and the pull of faith, who's willing to struggle and wait and watch and hope despite his doubts. Now, another modern-day doubter like Thomas is Lee Strobel. Do any of you know Lee Strobel? Lee is an award-winning journalist and Yale-educated lawyer who decided to investigate his doubts about faith in Jesus Christ. He was a self-proclaimed atheist, and so was his wife for a long time, until they started having children. Lee interviewed many scientists and leaders around the world about the evidence that they could see for having faith in Jesus Christ, and he was out to prove them wrong. He put his evidence and his research into a book called The Case for Christ. And it's now a movie playing in theaters, and it's right here in the Roxy. I saw it Friday night, and it's wonderful to see such a movie in the theaters on a huge screen. Very interesting, true story, and I think it's very well acted. The book and movie are about Lee Strobel's wife, Leslie, and her newfound faith in Jesus that compelled Lee to try to disprove the claims of Christianity using his Yale law background and his skills at investigative reporting. He pits his resolute atheism against her growing faith. And one of the people that Strobel interviewed is Dr. William Craig, who has a doctorate in philosophy from the University of Birmingham, England, and a doctorate in theology from the University of Munich. And Dr. Craig is in this movie that they show. He wrote many theological books about the historical evidence and about the witness accounts of the resurrection, and he put it all in a book titled Reasonable Faith, Knowing the Truth About the Resurrection. When describing how he came to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Dr. Craig said, "The miraculous would be absurd if you did not believe that God existed. But if there is a creator who designed and brought the universe into being, who sustains its existence moment by moment, who is responsible for the very natural laws that govern our physical world, then certainly it's rational to believe that the miraculous is possible." Then he talked about probability versus improbability. He said, as a scientist, Dr. Craig said, any improbability that you might think resides in the resurrection of Jesus is counterbalanced by the improbability of the empty tomb. His many post-resurrection appearances and the sudden change in the disciples' behavior after Jesus appeared to them. None of these things would have taken place if there was no such event as the resurrection of Jesus, which is historically clearly documented not only in the Bible, but in many other historical documents. It was the strong evidence of Jesus risen from the dead that inspired the disciples to transform from being scared and confused ex-followers of the crucified Christ to becoming fervent preachers of the good news who were willing to travel thousands of miles and eventually die in order to tell their testimonies of belief in Jesus. So I recommend that you all go and see this movie while it's still here in town, or read Lee Strobel's books. They are very well researched about how his own skepticism turned to deep faith. And as a result of his efforts to disprove the resurrection, he was led to faith in Jesus Christ. So Lee Strobel left the Chicago Tribune, where he was a top editor of the legal section of the paper, and he left the world of journalism to attend seminary, and he became a pastor. And now he has written 23 books and contributed to 3 Christian movie screenplays. The resurrection of Jesus changed his life, and now he describes his life as seeking truth, finding God, telling everyone. That's a good theme for your life. So now, as Easter people, it is up to each one of us to live the resurrected life that Jesus wants us to live and be like Lee and the disciple Thomas and, of course, like Jesus. All of us can be an overcomer, but let the Church of the Roses here help you be one too. Amen.